Blog Talk Radio.
Sverige och jag älskar min straightway-stam och mina systrar.
Finland.
Olen hebrealainen Suomesta ja rakastan straightway-heimoani ja siskojani.
Israel.
Ani Ivriam Israel. Ohevet et shevet straightway ve'achyotai.
Trinidad.
I am a Hebrew from Trinidad and Tobago. I love my straightway tribe and sisters.
Puerto Rico.
Soy hebrea de Puerto Rico y amo a la tribu de straightway. Y también a mis hermanas.
Philippines.
Usa ko ka Hebreo gikan sa Cebu, Philippines. Gihigugman ako ang pamilya sa straightway. Labi na ang mga igsuon ako nga babae.
Australia.
I am a Hebrew from Australia and I love my straightway tribe and sisters.
Japan.
私は日本からのヘブライ人です。私はストレイウェイ族と私の姉妹が大好きです。
Canada?
I am a Hebrew from Canada, and I love my straightway tribe and sisters.
Shalom and bless you, Sister Ashley, tonight. I am hosting tonight's show. Mother Jennifer is hosting with me. I'm glad that you are tuned in. My voice feels a little weak. It does not hurt at all, but if you notice that, just wanted to put that out there. Welcome to another live show. Thank you again and again for your time and for tuning in. I hope that we have a good show for you. This was one of those that, you know, ideas and I would like to say it's all Yah and give him the glory. We're just flooding in within the past hour, you know, into me and Mother Jennifer's minds through some questions, some texts, even some emails. So really been digging in. I got here around maybe 5:30. I hope I've talked long enough that you could hear and give me some tens, 10 being you hear me well. Hallelujah. We always do the sound check. We got to. Don't get tired of it. Hallelujah. It's November already, y'all. It is November already. It is November the 9th. So we are counting down still within that seven-month range of our next feast day. So I hope you're digging in. Hope you're purging. Hallelujah. And I hope you're really, really pressing past off passivity and really longing for the Most High. Yeah. Mother Jennifer, thank you for being with me tonight. I need you. And welcome to the show. Let's hear your voice.
Shalom and bless you, Sister Ashley. It is very good to hear your voice. And I was going to say the same thing. I truly need you, and I'm so happy that you are here tonight, and I'm so happy that you have allowed me to be here with you. I pray that everyone can hear me. I can hear you well. And, yes, Sister Ashley, we have, it's like, you know, during the dead season, we are getting a lot of questions, which is a good thing. It appears that as if the women are truly wanting to work on themselves, and they're definitely getting some good, honest answers from us. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Hey, let's kick it off. I really don't have any announcements coming to my mind. I'll try to jot some things down if there's something that needs to be said. Thank you, Father. I wanted to say thank you to Sister Gabby for posting, or whoever's posting for her, the archived prayer. Archived in my mind meaning, you know, an older prayer from some of the prayer calls that used to go on. And it's her channel's prayers and wisdom. It's just beautiful. She had one posted, you know, within the last week, and I got to listen to that. And I enjoy it. And I wanted to say, if you're able to hear it, remember YouTube channel called Prayers and Wisdom, if you're able to hear it, and she is a praying woman, you can just kind of see how, you know, the praise goes up, how the spiritual warfare is involved. If you're new to really praying the word, you know, and engaging with the Father, you may be a little intimidated, honestly, because she's just well-versed in the word. And I want you to hear it just so you can adapt your own connection with the Father, not to listen to it to try to be like her at all. So I want to throw that out there. But most definitely it's a great standard and just something that we can all grow in, you know, and I really appreciate it. So that's my announcement. I want to kick off the show. I like to always introduce how ideas come. And throughout the week, I was considering talking about bitterness, and specifically bitterness towards men. Not sure how much that might come up tonight because we have a few other questions that have come in. I think we can tie it all together. We may have some segments. We may deal with something first, move on to the next thing, and then, you know, the second half of the show, I would like to share healing testimony. I think I want to go with the first email Mother Jennifer had asked, you know, should she read? I think so. I want to use this as a, as Pastor says, you know, a teaching tool when he's reading something like this, and not to discourage at all, but I want to use this as a teaching tool. So it's the first email, and it's the shorter one we received this week. So I'm ready when you are.
Yes, ma'am. It says, Shalom, Sister Ashley and Mother Jennifer, and all the sisters and mothers of Straightway. Hallelujah, I just wanted to share a testimony. I have never had much for self-control, especially when it comes to these emotions, and never having been disciplined by my caretakers as a child and under the influences of certain evil spirits, namely rejection and my own pride, I have been a mess. But hallelujah, I am experiencing something new. I was under attack last Shabbat, and the usual thing to do would be to pass the attack on to my husband. By Yah's grace, however, I was able to not give voice to those lying spirits. It was a lot of work, and I know I have a lot more ahead, but I had to deal with the spirits on and off throughout the whole day. I wrote a note also at one point expressing everything I thought I needed to say to my husband, and I cried it out to Yah several times and read by the end of the day, when the family was able to spend some time with him, my husband's and children's dad, I had gotten some perspective. For one, I learned that just because he doesn't come to the same conclusions as me or figure things out like I do doesn't make him wrong or evil, nor does it even mean he doesn't care. Should be obvious, men and women and all individuals think and process info a bit differently, but I think I was assuming everyone is me and thinks like me, and if not, then they should. But by Yah's grace, I discovered that if you can suffer through the ups and downs of your emotion and let the feelings pass, that you will think different later, that you will think different after. I continued to tell the spirits in Yahshua's name to get off my back, and I could feel lots of pressure there on my back as I kept getting harassed by them. They like to take ordinary situations and turn everything suspect and make me want to question everything. And if I go for it, I end up very overwhelmed, anxious, stressed, and confused, to name a few. I truly believe I got some deliverance and victory that day. Hallelujah. I kept submitting the issue to the Father, resisting the devil, and it all worked out so naturally and beautifully. I didn't have to fight tooth and claw to get what I thought I needed. Yah knew, and he fought for me, and it all worked out without me having to say much at all. Hallelujah. Our Shabbat ended up without a big fight. We got to spend time with Daddy at the creek. Our 14-year-old got to practice some driving skills. My husband was encouraged, and we all had a good time. Glory to Yah, hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Also, I was trying to shed some light on one of the spirits to my husband. It was like it was choking me. I believe it was coming out, but reluctantly. I had never noticed any physical or outward expressions of demons leaving me, so that was encouraging. Bless you, saints, and thank you for your labor of love. Endure. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. I appreciate and acknowledge the understanding that our sister, this woman, may have received. I really do. And using this as a teaching tool, my words may not come across as kindness, because I know also after an experience like this personally and then turning it into an email, there's also a communication barrier, right? But I just want to hit a few things, all right? Good, you confess that you never had self-control. Good, you confess you never had discipline. You confess that you've had rejection and pride. When you mention that you're under attack, I want to say by experience, it's going to take you a long time to determine being under attack, okay? By the sound of your email, you have not been with the Father or in the spiritual warfare and fight for long enough to know when you're under attack. You are dealing with demonic spirits in your flesh. You are to blame. Okay? You need a lot of deliverance and a lot of help to discern when you're actually under attack, and to use that verbiage is a completely different maturity level. Okay? Then you use the words that it often passes the attack off on your husband, okay? And then you mentioned that your Shabbat ended up without a fight. That's very disheartening for me to hear. I've never had a fight on Shabbat in my life, okay? Nor should any home ever experience verbal abuse, physical abuse, or any form of fighting, okay? I'm going to go to a verse, and we all know this, but I'm going to try to help you understand it tonight. Ephesians 6:12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." That means I do not and will not wrestle with my husband. Ephesians 6:12, "But against principalities, against powers, and against rulers of the darkness of the world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places." Okay? Now, this was covered on Lion's Den very briefly in 10/25/2023, called "Tear Down Your High Places," if you're interested in seeing that. 10/25 is a date. 10/25/2023, Lion's Den, Straightway, Indiana, Goshen, okay? "Tear Down Your High Places," if you're interested. Now, back to the verse. Let's focus just a moment on rulers of darkness. Okay? So, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I do not wrestle against my husband, but somehow I have found myself doing that, right? That would be your case. But you wrestle against principalities and against powers and rulers of darkness. What would be a ruler of darkness? Right? I was just briefly talked to someone this week about this. A ruler of darkness is not a spirit that only rules when the lights are off. Okay, that might sound humorous, right? It's much deeper than that. It has nothing to do with earthly lights, sun up, sun down, light switch on, light switch off. It's darkness within us that we can't see. Okay? So there's a lot within you that you can't see. That'd be the same for me, us, everyone on this journey. Okay? When you get, into this spiritual warfare, there are many things that you cannot see about yourself. You might say, hey, I've never had self-control, never had discipline, I got rejection, I got pride issues, but you only have a view from surface level. Right? If we can see at the measure of what is really in the depths of our hearts, if we can see that measure early on, we'd be consumed. You mentioned in your letter that you said, I believe I got victory. Did you? Right? Just once again, just another correction on the speech. I believe I got victory. Did you get victory? Who was there to cast that spirit out of you? Remember, I acknowledge the understanding that the Most High Yah may have given you that day. And then you mentioned shedding light on one of the spirits to your husband. I'm not sure if you are well-learned enough in wrestling against principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness to shed light on anything. It's just something to consider. Mother Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am, Sister Ashley. And, you know, I think one thing that we fail to remember is that the Word tells us to submit ourselves unto Yah, to resist the devil and he will flee. And there really is an order to that. And we have to make sure that we are fully submitted to Yah. So that means that we are keeping his order no matter what. So even when we're tempted by our feelings and, and the sister did what she knew to do, you know, she fought the way that she knew how to fight. And so, which is why we are shedding more light so that she can have more ammunition when the devil tries to come back to tempt her. But the first and foremost thing is submit yourself to Yah. You make sure that your home is in order. You make sure that you are respectful to your husband no matter what. Like, it's never a temptation for me to fight with my husband because we just don't fight. You know, we don't fight in this home. We don't fight under his roof, period. It just doesn't happen. And so you have to have your list of things that you know that you're not going to do. It's not an option for me to be opposed to my husband in my mind. It's just not an option. So once you get that resolved, once you have the order of Yah in your heart and your mind, then you can just fully submit to Yah, and that is how you resist the devil, and that is how he flees. So there really is an order to everything. You can't jump over the submission to Yah and think that you're going to resist the devil. Submission starts first and foremost in your heart, and that's one thing to remember. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Let's introduce that word bitterness for our understanding tonight. It is a work of the flesh, and it is a anger or a disappointment of the way that you've been treated, okay? There is also resentment interwoven and interlaced into that bitterness. And the nature is within the darkness of your being. It's not always seen. It's not noticed from within you, from your perspective and your mind, of how you treat anyone else until Yah shines the light. And so bitterness, remember, being an anger and a disappointment at how you're being treated, but that treatment is often determined by self and by our own perception that is very skewed. So our perception of ourselves is that we should be loved, we should be honored, we shouldn't be treated a certain way, we should be done fairly, we shouldn't be spoken evil of, right? Not saying no matter what you've done to anyone else, you still, that's the sinful nature of flesh that exalts itself, right? And so remember, anger and disappointment of being treated unfairly. Bitterness is going to come up a few times. I got a perfect verse. This is the one I love so much. I'm going to read a few verses. This is out of 2 Samuel. I know I've read this to y'all before. I feel like I've probably said everything before. We've done this show for so long, so many shows. Some things might be on repeat for your ears. Just go with me. But it's 2 Samuel 16. This is the nature that we need to attain to. Okay? This is a good example of a character that is greatly lacking in women. Okay? It's portrayed in King David. All right? I'm looking for it. Hold on a second. I'm going to see where I'm going to start here. 2 Samuel 16. All right. King David comes to, I'm reading it, but I'm going to try to break it down kind of like in story form because some of the, once again, translation, right? His name was this and the son of that. And so I'm just going to chop it up a little bit. But King David comes to a place called Bahurim. And here comes a man of the family of the house of Saul, okay? So you know there's a division, there's altercation, there's fighting, there's temptation, right? Two completely opposing families. And this man's name was Shammai. And he comes forth and cursed him as he's coming. So as King David's walking up a mountain, he's cursing him. And he starts to throw stones at David. All right? So he's literally picking up stones and throwing to hit him. Now, ask yourself, with the level of self-control that you have, what would be your response? Okay? Because you have a certain mentality on how you should be treated. If anyone violates that, what are you going to do? Here's King David. Stones are coming at him. And he's got some servants with him, okay? Now, King David, I'm not going to tell you the whole story, it would take too much time, but King David's fleeing from the scene with Absalom, you know, his son doing his iniquity, trying to do things behind his back. He's got a lot going on. He's leaving. He's going up a mountain. He's got people wanting to kill his life, I mean, you know, take his life. And so he's got a reason that he's set apart. He's seeking the Father, and he's fleeing, okay, because he would die to put himself in those men's hands, right? All right, so he's got his servants. He's walking up the hill. Here comes the man, Shammai. He's starting to throw stones. All right? All the people that are on the right hand and the left hand of Shammai are mighty. So he's overrun by this group. And Shammai cursed and said, "Come out. Come out, you bloody man." Basically, you know, come out from hiding. He had a shawl over his face. Come out from hiding. Get out from behind the rocks, right? Come out from hiding, you bloody man. You son of Satan. Belial. Yah has. He's still mocking. Okay? Now, remember, this doesn't pierce us. Like, it doesn't matter to me what Shammai said to David. Right? But to David, he's piercing him. Right? He's saying the words. It's going to get to him. It's going to make him aggressive. It's going to make him hurt. Right? He says, "Yah has returned unto you all the blood of the house of Saul." All right? So basically, you're paying for what you've done. Now, this man, King David, is already feeling low. And you're going to just mock and pile on top of him. He said, "Yah has delivered the kingdom into the hand of your son, and you're taking in all your mischief because you're a bloody man, still throwing rocks, got all these men with him." Okay? So now you have another man, I'm almost done, another man named Abishai, and he's with King David, and he says, "Why should we let this dead dog continue to curse you? Let me go over, I'm begging you, and take his head off." And the king says, "What does this have to do with you? You're a son of Zerah," basically meaning, "I'm David, I'm King David. Don't affect yourself in my affairs at this time, right? Worry with yourself." And the king said, "What have I to do with you? You're a son of Zerah. Let him curse because Yah is allowing this. what if Yah is saying, curse me, David? Who then will say, what have you done? Let him curse. It may be that Yah will look upon my affliction and he will give me good for this man's cursing on this day. You know what type of self-control that takes? To not become angry and resentful and bitter towards the hurtful words of someone else. Not to return a fight. Mother Jennifer?
You know, Sister Ashley, and it truly takes knowing your Yah and truly having a relationship with Yah. So many times the world has taught women that you have to defend yourself because no one else will defend you. And in that teaching, the world has taught women how to be masculine because women should have never be in that type of position. But when a woman truly knows her Yah and she understands her Yah, then she knows that he is the one that will defend her, that she doesn't need to defend herself. Sister Ashley.
Had a question for you, Mother Jennifer. Let me pull it up. If a woman is dealing with a mocking spirit towards men that she is trying to turn from, do you have a way to speak her through this spirit? Your turn. Go ahead.
A mocking spirit towards men. You know, I would first and foremost establish in my heart and my mind, do I love and respect Yah? Do I have a relationship with Yah? You always start there. And then you have to understand what Yah's order is. You know that Yah has placed man over the woman. I say you start there first and foremost. What happened to you when you were younger that made you or that put you in this position where you felt tempted to mock men? You know, why do you not trust men? Why is it that you feel that you can handle things more than a man can? So these are questions that only you can ask, but it really starts first and foremost with your relationship with the Father. And I find, Sister Ashley, that a lot of the things that we talk about, women have to go back and ask themselves, okay, what is my foundation like? Like, is this a foundation issue that I'm dealing with? Do I truly have a love for Yah the way that I think I do or the way that I proclaim that I do? Do I truly exhibit that love in my heart and mind, and do I walk that love out daily? Because if I did, then my actions would be different. My thoughts would be different. So what would cause me to have a mocking, a temptation of mocking men in my heart and in my mind? Sister Ashley?
Very good. Very good start. It's interesting that Proverbs 7 just came to my mind. So I'm going to go there because I know what this is about, Proverbs 7. I'm like, okay. In my mind first, I'm like, okay, how does this fit, Father? And then it makes sense to me. I hope that I can portray the sense that it makes in my mind to each of you. Good start on that question, Mother Jennifer. Very good start. All right, I'm going to read fast. Proverbs 7:1 is basically warning a young man about an adulterous woman, right? A behavior of an adulterous woman. Okay. First, it's saying, my son, keep my words, lay up my commandments. Keep my commandments and live. Okay? Bind them on your fingers. Write them everywhere. Right? Then it says, they will keep you from the strange woman. Right? The commandments will keep you from a strange woman. And then he says, I'm at the window of my house and I look through a casement or a window. And behold, amongst the simple ones, right, the ignorant, I discern a youth, a young man, completely void of understanding. He's passing through the street near her corner. Whose corner? The woman, right? The strange woman. passing through the street, I see the strange woman, okay, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black, and in the dark, right? And behold, here comes to meet him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. She's loud, she's stubborn. Her feet don't stay in her house. Now she's without, meaning she's not in her house, she's not where she should be, she's not with the righteous, she's not doing her thing, she's a strange woman. So now she's without, now she's in the streets, and she lies in wait at every corner. She catches him, she kisses him, with an impudent face upon him. She says, basically, does it matter what she says? No, because she's just bringing to him what the word says, peace offerings, right? All the soft, subtle speech, all the deception, all the manipulation. I have peace offerings with me. This day I've paid my vows, right? Then she says, therefore, came I forth to meet you diligently. I mean, I would look for you to seek your face. I decked my bed. I did this and this and this. I carved works. I'm reading fast. I put on perfume. I put it everywhere. I got cinnamon. I got everything going on. Let us take our fill in love. Let us solace ourselves with love. Is that not what you want, strange women? Is that not what you want? You know, that perfect romantic setup, that man that'll hear you. She says, for the good man is not at home. Some translations say, my husband, which is why the word, you know, in this Proverbs 7 warns you against the adulterous woman because she's already married. He's gone on a long journey. He's taking a bag of money with him. So she's telling the story, right? She's deceptive, very deceptive. So he goes after her straightway as an ox goes to the slaughter, as a fool goes to the stocks. I used to go to the stockyard. Stocks are like they lock an animal in so you pierce its ear and claim it as your own. So, till a dart strikes through his liver. That basically means he's just pierced. He's totally affected by her. As the bird hastens to the snare, listen to me, it says, my children, my son, attend to the words of my mouth. Let not your heart decline to this woman's ways, and do not go astray in her path. She has cast down many wounded. Okay? That's the whole point of the whole story right here for me. That's the whole reason we had to read it. Was that when there is a bitterness, it will become resentful, spiteful, and it won't mind how many people it affects. It won't matter if it becomes a rejecter. It won't matter what it says or who it manipulates. It's a ruler of darkness. It won't see itself. Because it's bitter. And the bitterness that lies deep within you as you mock or hate a man, obviously, as Mother Jennifer said, it is your foundation and issue with the Father. But your bitterness makes you as guilty as the man that you harbor hate for who has done you wrong. As you remember what he said, as you remember what he did, and you might say, well, I forgive. You might have said it 100 times. You might say, I am not bitter. And you might proclaim it. You might pray it. You might renounce it. You might go through our deliverance sessions when pastor's leading us and say, I forgive, I forgive. I'm going to give you a true test of forgiveness. My husband taught me this. I'm going to give you a true test of forgiveness. There's a verse where David said, my enemies, look at them, Father. They mock me. They want me to fall. And he gives plenty of Psalms, even some Proverbs, on what those people have done to him. But he said, I laid in sackcloth when they were sick, and I prayed for them. So if you can't pray mercy for the person that you hold bitterness and hold unforgiveness towards, then you are still guilty. Because if I have forgiven someone and I am not any longer bitter, my cleanness will show by saying, Father, have mercy. Now the wicked heart, Mother Jennifer, is going to go, I don't want to show them mercy because I do want them to pay for what they've done to me. and what they've said to me. But remember, that's not the Father's heart, because we haven't paid for what we've done. And he still laid his life down and took it all away. Mother Jennifer.
And you have to remember that Yah says that he will repay. It is his job. And, you know, Sister Ashley, going over Proverbs 7, the thing that we really need to ask ourselves is, how does this woman relate to my inner thoughts? How does this woman relate to, you know, the way that I behave? How does this woman relate to the intent that is in my heart? If you look, it says that she waited and she watched and she literally discerned so that she could figure out the right words that would flatter. You know, what words can I use to flatter or appeal to this man? And she waited and she watched and she discerned. So you have to think the same thing when you're waiting and watching and you're discerning. You know, are you doing this for good or are you doing this for evil? And, you know, when you talk about the past, Sister Ashley, if you don't reconcile your past, then you'll start punishing the righteous men. You won't see any men as righteous. You know, we have righteous men in this ministry. And what you'll start to do is you'll start to see them in the same light as the ones that have hurt you in the past. And you'll start punishing righteous men for what the unrighteous has done from your past. And I want to say one more thing. There is a teaching called forgiveness that Pastor Dow did about 7 years ago, and the date is January 3rd, 2016, and it's a little over an hour. It's about an hour and 47 minutes long, but that is something that I truly admonish everyone to just really listen to. I listen to it at least twice a year, once before Passover and one other time during the year, because I always get something different out of it. But it is a very good teaching, and it will help you practically think about, have I truly forgiven? You know, and Pastor says in the very beginning of the video, once you listen to this teaching, you'll realize that you've never really forgiven the way that you needed to. So it's a really good teaching to listen to. It's called Forgiveness. It's by Pastor Dowell, and it's January 3rd, 2016. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. I was writing it down so I can hear it. 2016, man, a lot of years. I hope that, you know, I hope our dialogue is always helpful, because I understand the passion that a strong personality in a woman can produce. I understand that. And, you know, perhaps every woman doesn't have those strong outward expressions of passion, but we still all have temptations to the flesh, you know, to be bitter. And the verse that I keyed in on was how she wounded, and she had cast down many wounded. And this strange woman, this adulterous woman, didn't mind who she affected. And that is the deception. When you're struggling with what you're struggling with, you don't know who you're affecting, you know. Very selfish. It's just very, very selfish. And there's so much we could say. Have I had bitterness? Absolutely. Have I had bitterness to the core of my being? Absolutely. Have I had resentment and revenge? Absolutely. But those things are bound to the flesh. They're not who I wanted to be. That's what you tell yourself. It's not who I want to be. It's not who I am. I'm not so sure that you, and who is you, anyone, you know, I don't put that label on each of you. I just mean, like, do we understand, Mother, let's go back to foundation and focus on that word for a moment. Do we understand prayer? Do we really understand prayer? Are we so focused on our husbands that we forgot our Yah? Are we so overwhelmed with our children that we forgot our Yah? Are we just consumed with the daily tasks? I mean, the first thing that needs to get the sideline and sit on the bench is the cell phone. It's very dangerous to build communication networks on your phone, occupying your time when you have many children. You have maybe many duties, many responsibilities. Women are very desperate for help. And we'll reach out to anybody. We will find a sentimental ear. And we will find someone to listen to us that perhaps won't tell us the truth or perhaps just won't even discern the truth because our husbands don't want to hear it or because our husband ain't got an answer or because you wear him out. And so I just suggest that you dig into prayer. I've pulled away from many people on purpose, and it's not for my great love that I have, Mother Jennifer. I have great love. I'd lay my life down and I would help people. You know, I've given myself wholeheartedly as much as possible to the service of the people. And I've pulled away because you need your Yah. And when you know someone has answers, whoever they are, it could be a good answer, it could be just a sentimental ear, right? But that pull away was so that you would find, you know, your own Yah. And I don't mean just personally for me. I know other women do it too. I know Mother Jennifer will do it to you too. She'll always lead you back to the Father. Y'all, you community sisters, that's what we do. We lead you back to the Father. You need a foundation. You don't love him. You are not telling him you don't. You think it's an issue with a man, but you want payback for the man who's hurt you. And you believe Yah should pay him back. And because Yah ain't paying him back, then you hold it in. And then you lose your trust for the Father because maybe somebody else will do it. So there's a whole, you know, meditation and introspective look from within yourself that needs to be done in prayer, consistent prayer. Well, how do you pray? If you can't pray, fast. If you're busy with children, if you're busy with your job, fast. Give yourself wholeheartedly to the Father to get answers about yourself, your one life, one soul to be saved. Mother Jennifer.
You know, Sister Ashley, speaking of foundation for women, one thing that we have to realize is if you are, let's say you are a married woman and you found the faith through your husband, you really still have to evaluate and ask yourself, okay, I know and I understand that I have to have a personal relationship with Yah. Do I really have that personal relationship with him? Or am I just following the relationship that my husband has with the Father? And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be following our husband. I hope you don't think I'm saying that because we should be following them. However, we have to have our own foundation with Yah, our own covenant, our own relationship with him. There should be things that the Holy Spirit should be able to convict us on so that your husband doesn't have to continually stay on you all the time. You should be convicted just because of the holy and righteous relationship that you have with the Father. Sister Ashley?
Yes, good. Well said. It's a good balance because we can grieve them, we can vex them, and then at the same time, of course, they're created to bear us. You know, they're our head, so they're going to have take on the task of bearing our weight. Like Mother Jennifer said, everything's in balance. You know, we always speak the order of Yah, but most definitely you can go to Yah yourself, and then you know when you're hearing from your Father, you're going to connect that, you know, Yah is going to even speak through your husband for you, even an unbelieving husband, you know, because you spoke with fear, because you've had self-control, because you practiced the things of the Word. The Father can, you know, send answers through so many people. We had a question in the chat. I'm going to sing it to you first, Mother Jennifer. It says, when Yah is being an avenger to a person that you have forgiven for the wrongs that they have done to you, would praying for his mercy on them be the same as praying against his will and purpose?
Sister Ashley, for me, I know when I think about this situation, I think about the fact that if I'm praying for mercy for someone who has wronged me in the past, if I'm praying for mercy for that person, that is more more so to make sure that I remain clear of being bitter, if that makes sense. Yah is the one that will determine if he's going to show mercy, if he's going to show compassion. Remember, he says, I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. So his will is going to go forward regardless. I just need to make sure that my heart is clear, and I need to make sure that I'm not harboring any unforgiveness, and I'm not unwilling to want mercy shown to that person. Yah's will is going to go forward regardless. Sister Ashley?
Absolutely. I agree, and that really would be my answer too. And I would add to it just by saying that if you're praying a certain prayer and it is for mercy, mercy is his will. Mercy is always his will. If he lays judgment on someone, then that's his will and he won't be moved by your prayer. Or perhaps your mercy will sway, not sway, but add mercy to the judgment. It's all about leading each soul back to him. He's not a tyrant. You know, he's compassionate. And the Father ponders. The Father doesn't, you know, everything's so set in stone that you need to line up to it, and that's exactly what it is. He's going to hear the cries of his people. You know, if he was set in stone, he would have been done with us so long ago. Our sin is so thick. Our iniquity is so buried. We're so ruled by rulers of darkness. We don't have love and unity, you know, overall. And so, yes, these prayers make inroads and even give hope to his ears. And so mercy is his will always. I also, you know, as you had asked, Yah being an avenger to a person that you have forgiven, I'm not, this is me personally, it's not taken away from what the Father has shown you at all, but I am not quick to say that the Father has avenged me by doing something to someone else. I don't even have that in my heart, right? Now, if pastor can say that a man's teeth got knocked out by a tire iron after he said and did what he did to him, that's pretty obvious, right? And so there are those examples, and maybe they're that clear in your life too, you know, but I'm just not, I'm seeking for that King David nature, that humility that said, let him throw stones, it might be the Father. You know, let them say what they say, it might be the Father. And if the Father's allowing it, maybe he will requite and reward me for not cursing in return, you know. So just make sure there's no bitterness hidden within you, that there's no spite. See, if you have bitterness and spite towards an avenger, someone who's done you wrong, then there's no way you're going to want to pray for mercy. So then your question is going to go, if I pray for mercy, would that be the same as praying against the Most High? See, you're already hesitating because it's not in your nature to have mercy. So you're already catching it, right? It's not my nature to have mercy, Father. Matter of fact, who have you had mercy on? Write it down. Who have any of you had mercy on? You know, can you make a list? Can we remember? When was the time? What was done that we said, man, forgive them? Walk away from a spiteful conversation. Forgive them. I'm not going to hold that against them, Father. We don't wrestle against the flesh. I can do that. By much trial and much affliction, I can do that. Can you do that? Years ago, I couldn't do that. I went to a quiet sister. Y'all heard this story, some of you. I went to a quiet sister. I said, how in the hell? This was in my passion, right? All my zeal and all my bitterness years ago. How in the hell you stay quiet when that just happened? That something had just popped off, and I have no idea how she maintained self-control the way she did. right? Because by nature, I'm used to, and we are, you are, coming straight out of the world, you are used to defending yourself. What's the best way to defend yourself? With your tongue. That's all we got. You know, that little member. I'm going to the verse. It says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation, James 3. For many things we offend. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. And he's able to bridle his whole body. Can you imagine that type of speech that won't even offend with his word? Now, the pastor doesn't have that option. Pastor Rufus doesn't have that. You know, the ministers of the word, the scriptural word, they don't have that option. Sorry, you're going to offend just because of our wicked nature, right? I'm just meaning in day-to-day relationships. So if any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and he's able to bridle his whole body. Then he gives a concrete example. You know the word always gives concrete examples. We put bits in a horse's mouth, and they obey us. Y'all remember I had a childhood experience with horses. I used to ride them. My family used to ride them. A lot of my family was good, you know, some championships, some trophies. And it's a bit that goes across the teeth in the back, holds their mouth open just slightly, and keeps them from biting so they cannot bite you. But it also has two on the side of each cheek, two metal, look about like quarter size, and they're attached to the reins so you can turn it. So that's a bit. Sometimes I explain that for international listeners. So we put bits in a horse's mouth, and they obey us, and we turn their whole body. Next verse says, also ships, though they're great in size, driven by fierce winds, yet they're turned with a very small helm. Whatsoever the governor of the ship, the captain of the ship, says, they do by that very small turning wheel, right? And it says, even so the tongue is a little member, and it boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a small fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles also the whole body and sets on fire the course of all nature. And it is set on fire in hell. Imagine that. But back to our thoughts, or let's go to you, Mother Jennifer.
Sister Ashley, I wanted to say one thing that always rings in my mind and my heart is the first time I heard Pastor Dow say, you have hurt people too, you know, and I believe it is in the forgiveness teaching, but he says it all the time that we need to remember that we have hurt people too. We're not just victims here. We have to understand that we have had a part in hurting others. And truly, if you think about it, you know, he talks about this all the time. If you make a list of offenses that have been done to you compared to the offenses that you've actually committed, what's been done to you would far outweigh what you have done to others. And I find that we miss the mark when it comes to repenting for the things that we've done. You know, like Pastor Rufus says, how can you repent for something that you don't believe that you're even guilty of? And so we miss that because we're so focused on what's been done to us, what he did, what she did, what he said, what she said. But we never go back to what was the thought that I had this morning, the evil thought that I had towards that sister this morning, and did I repent for that evil thought? No, I didn't say it, but it was in my heart. It was in my mind. So we need to really think the way that Yah thinks so that we can repent and we can be set free. Sister Ashley?
And, you know, we're not the only ones. You know, I'm never the only one being tempted. You know, you're never the only one being tempted. You know, was Job tempted? Yes, we have his account. Was Jonah tempted? Absolutely, you have his account. You know, was he tempted to be bitter at the Most High? Sure. You asked me to prophesy. I did. I obeyed you. Now you shame me and humiliate me because they repented. And it changed your will. But I'm a liar to them. I'm mocked by them, by the people of Nineveh. So he sat in his shame and humiliation. Why would you have me go do that? Why would you have me prophesy, right? So he had the temptation to be bitter. What about Joseph? You know, it's always painted like this beautiful story because we know the end of the 10 years. What was those 10 years like? He lost everything he knew. He lost his father that he loved. He went into a completely foreign land, surrounded by a plethora of gods that had statues everywhere. We only have one small story of a woman who tempted him for sexual desires. What about the day-to-day? Did bitterness tempt him? Did somebody say something to upset him? Did somebody mock his Elohim? Are you kidding me? 10 years of trial and affliction? Can you imagine the gut-wrenching experiences that he had in prayer, the agony he had in prayer, the desperation? Not knowing it was just 10 years. You don't know it's 10 years when you're going through something. You don't know the end of what you're dealing with. What about Elijah when he was running? Because everyone's going to kill him. You know, you put yourself in that story. You have to flee, you know. We have people live in those experiences when they're mocked here, you know. They're cast away here, you know. They put a judgment on someone because of their deeds or their iniquity or their sin, rightly so. And then people don't care about them, you know. And then you got to live with that. Are you not tempted to be bitter? Absolutely. So the temptation's there, but that bitterness will really spring up in you and defile many. That's what the word says. And then that's when you're guilty, because now you are acting out in bitterness and sin towards others while you still have this mind of what someone's done to you. Let's bring a full circle, though. This is encouraging. We're going to a second email, and I'm going to tell you something real quick. Mother Jennifer's going to read the second email. It's a healing testimony, right? And I reached out. No, I had this wonderful conversation with this sister. I love her dearly. And I said, you got to write it. I said, you got to write it. Hold on. Let me go to my text real quick, y'all. And before you read her healing victory, right, there's so many to each of our stories. If any of us tell a story of what Yah did to us, touched our body, saved our soul, enlightened us, whatever, it's going to be hard to just cram it in a few words, right? But I just told her, take some time and write your story, because it's a beautiful healing story, and send it in. I had no idea when she would send it in, and I sure didn't know she would send it this on point and this on time. But she also, she didn't know either, because she's going to be led, right? And then you wake up with that pressing, like, hey, let me get this done and send it in. And so it fits perfectly. And I text her when she said, hey, sent the email, you know, Straightway Help Meets. I said, Glory, P.S., what spiritual ties can you share? What did you find in your heart? Tonight I was going to talk about bitterness, for example. And then she says, I found hidden bitterness in my heart. So when you hear her situation and you hear what she's overcome, just know that the circumstance to begin with all the other thousands of micro details and things that she repented and renounced and found and searched and dug deep for, before she was healed, there was an acknowledgement of bitterness, you know, and she had realized and admitted it, and it was a huge weight lifted off of her. And let me see, the rest, she had to renounce things that she said, renounce things that she had gossiped or just had hatred, even growing up, you know, young, even bitterness towards women. That's another one. I renounced all that too in my life. Bitterness towards women, bitterness towards any time you were misrepresented, you know. And then it says, for having bad friendships in the world, you know, just having those really poor relationships that built up all those walls. So hallelujah. Now you're going to hear her heart and her healing. But I did just want to say that it was very fitting and right on time. And we hope that by the the grace of the Most High Yah and His goodness that leads us to repentance, that we're able to repent for these things before our bodies are greatly riddled with the pain and even the inflammation that we carry and the weight that we carry. Mother Jennifer, let's go to the email and please add anything that's on your mind.
I'm going to go to the email. Sister Ashley, I think you said everything that needs to be said. It says, I would like to share a testimony of healing with you all. I would like to say that writing this testimony only is truly hard because Yah has healed me in so many ways, spiritually and physically. A little over 1 year ago, I went to the doctor to get some routine blood work. At that appointment, she recommended a mammogram. I don't take man-made medicine. I get the blood work to be aware of what's going on in my body. So when she recommended a mammogram, I thought, okay, just to be aware, nothing more. My blood work came back, and for the first time in my adult life, it was normal, besides for one test. I was very thankful and excited. A week later, I went in for this routine mammogram, and they said they saw something, and they would like for me to schedule a sonogram to take a better look. I went back in a few days later, and they gave me news that they had found a mass in my breast. Complete fear tried to come over me. I remember crying a lot and thinking about how every woman in my family, on both sides besides my mother, has had breast cancer. I remember feeling this and having these overwhelming thoughts. Definitely that day, but what could have been a few days? And then I was reminded who I am and what Yah has done for me. It's like the Holy Spirit woke me up, and I realized that those spirits that were trying to come in and bind me. I turned my crying to the Father and reminded him and myself of who he is and of all that he has done for me, of all that he has healed me from. I went to war against Satan trying to attack me physically and spiritually and started breaking generational curses of breast cancer. The doctor scheduled a follow-up appointment for another mammogram and sonogram for 6 months. In those 6 months, I went on with life. I strive for a closer relationship with Yah and deliverance as I was led. I wasn't overtaken by fear, and I really didn't think about the diagnosis in those months. I gave it to Yah, and I trusted him. When I went back in 6 months, the doctor, after the testing came, she came in and told me that the mass had grown significantly. She urged me to get a biopsy and told me what to expect as far as the procedure goes. It was an outpatient procedure. They would give me topical medication and something so I wouldn't bleed easily. They would take a sample and send it in for testing. I asked if I could just come back in 3 months and we could just monitor it. She stated that the amount it grew and how it looked, she wanted to get the biopsy done as soon as possible. I scheduled the appointment for 2 weeks. I was crying a lot when I was told throughout that day and the weeks leading up to the procedure, but it wasn't fearful whatsoever. I remember telling Yah that I had so many questions, but saying to him that they were so insignificant, and who was I to come in and question him? I started searching biblical accounts of healing and verses in the Bible, just hoping for guidance from the Spirit on what to do, how to feel, and what was next. I decided to ask someone I knew who was very knowledgeable and seasoned in deliverance about spirit that could be tied to cancer, specifically breast cancer. She told me, and more importantly, she was really something I didn't know I needed going through this, but I'm thankful that I had. She is a great friend and sister, very concerning, supporting, and loving. Her example of sisterhood really made me reflect on myself and my relationship with sisters. She was a great example, and I am thankful that Yah led me to speak with her. Moving forward, I started praying and looking into myself with spirits concerning, but not limited to, hatred of being a woman, hatred of mother, bitterness, and bitterness towards women. I started contemplating on how far this could go and what I was willing to do medically and thinking about my faith and my belief in Yah. I know that Yah is my healer, but If they said it was cancerous, I knew I would not be getting chemo or surgery. I just wanted to focus on striving for a better relationship with the Father and being fruitful in all that He has allowed me to be a part in this world. The day of the procedure, one of my closest sister friends took me, and I was so thankful for her to be there with me. I went into the procedure room and waited for the doctor to come in. He came in and started explaining to me everything that they were going to do, which was exactly what my doctor told me, except then he stated that they would be inserting a titanium marker into my breast where they took the biopsy. He stated that this was so that they would know where the location of the biopsy was in case they needed to go back in at a later time, and that this marker would not be removed. I declined the marker and the drug that helped stop bleeding. The doctor asked the question on why I was declining the marker and tried to talk me into getting it in many different ways. Once he understood that I wasn't budging, he stated, "Well, there really is no reason for us to do this biopsy because we would be unable to find the mass if needed for future procedures." I am no doctor, but this made no sense to me, seeing how they have found it in every mammogram and sonogram that I've had thus far. But I was okay. I said, "Yes, sir," and proceeded to leave. He strongly urged me to come back to keep track of it in 6 months. I made the appointment, but in my mind, I was like, why come back? I am not going to get this procedure or any other if it is grown, so what is the point? 1 week after Tabernacles, I got an appointment reminder for my 6-month testing. I had completely forgotten about it and truly gave it to Yah. But out of curiosity, I decided to go. I noticed this time when I was having the sonogram, they didn't measure the mass as they usually do. The doctor came in and walked over by me there slowly and then stated that she wanted to do one more sonogram in that area next year for my yearly mammogram, but that the mass was no longer a concern. I'm not exactly sure what I was expecting the doctor to say that day. I was just expecting Yah. I screamed, "Thank you, Jesus," and I started crying. I was shivering, speaking in tongues the whole way to the car. The Holy Spirit inside me felt like it wanted to just burst out of me. I was on fire in my body. Once I got in the car, I just started praising and thanking the Father. I couldn't stop praising Yah. What a journey. I have so many more of these testimonies and so many more to come. All of His children do. I pray that this testimony, as well as all testimonies of the saints, encourages someone and it glorifies Yahweh's kingdom. We know we were healed 2,000 years ago by the blood of Jesus. We can say that. But to what extent do you believe and have faith that healing is happening in your life? I want to acknowledge the Most High Yah and all that He has done in life. Thank you, Father, for finding me, your lost sheep, and bringing me into your fold. I pray that I can know you more each day and that in me you can grow, all for the glory of your kingdom. Thank you, Father, for opening my eyes to the truth. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your Holy Spirit dwelling in me. Thank you for Straightway Ministry, for Pastor Dow, for all the righteous leadership. Thank you for all the prayers of the righteous. Thank you for the leadership and the family at the community that I have been blessed to be a part of. I love them so much, and I'm so grateful that Yah has blessed us to grow together. And as I type this testimony and think over my life and what Yah has done for me, this verse comes into my mind and reigns true. Jeremiah 29:11-13. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith Yah, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. lifted up. May he get all the glory. Hallelujah. All the glory. Granny Diane and Granny Barb's with me tonight. Granny Diane says, absolutely. And Grandma Barb's taking it all in. Hallelujah. We have those same mighty overcoming testimonies. That's the faith we live. That's what we believe. That's what we believe he can do, you know, when you're tested like that. Hallelujah. I appreciated it. That's why I told it. Write. Write it. Share it with the saints. May he be lifted up.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We have access to him. We have access to him. You know, I think I used to have, you know, it's hard sometimes to go back. It'd be the same for each of y'all. It's hard to go back and think of how you thought, you know. But I remember, you know, I no longer have the same emotions and thought patterns, but I remember, you know, not really understanding repentance, you know, seeing it as a continual deep pit, you know, that you can never get out of, seeing it as a rejecting hole, you know what I mean? Now I understand. I understand, and I hope you do. Yes, with all your heart, no room for bitterness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah from the chat room. My sister said, my tears won't stop flowing. Hallelujah from everybody. So encouraging. Glad you read it. One says, oh my, how beautiful and mighty Yah is. Praise his holy name for his enduring faithfulness and his beautiful testimony. All to the goodness of Yah. One says, thank you, sister, for your encouragement and giving your testimony. Only Yah can give healing in the name and blood of our healer, Jesus Christ. One says, I logged in just to shout glory and hallelujah. Because she was listening through the phone. One said, hallelujah, with all your heart, no room for bitterness. So it's always inspirational, you know, to end that way and to end with an encouragement because one says, praise God, that my faith has increased from hearing this powerful testimony. Thank you. That's what it's about. When, you know, I always call it game time. When it's time to produce in your life, you know, what pain in you, what back pain, neck pain, earache, sinus congestion, hair falling out, overweight, you know, foot ache, this, that, and the other. What is any of that associated with, you know? The carnal man goes to the natural means and the food and the herbs and the diet so quickly that it forgets that it's all emotionally stirred. You know, if it's not an injury, somewhere there's an emotion, somewhere. I'm not going to say 100% of the time. I never diagnose any of you because that would be so misleading. But most definitely the Most High gets all the praise and bless his holy name. Hey, I got nothing else. I wanna play a beautiful song just to remind y'all that we have access to him. But Mother Jennifer, thank you so much for being with me tonight. Let's do this real quick. Let's hear Mother Jennifer say this. Mother Jennifer, I'm going to ask you just to give a, let's say, someone needs a little help just initiating a renunciation or a repentance prayer, you know, towards bitterness towards men, bitterness towards women. Okay, so if you'll say men and women, and you'll just kind of just say a prayer, you know, like it's you, but let them hear it and just be real with it. And once again, just like I started the show when I said Sister Gabby's prayers are really powerful, and I enjoy listening to them. She's been praying many years, and she's gotten to a certain level of speech and knowing the word. So same thing with Mother Jennifer. When you hear her words, you are not required to repeat that exactly. You can if you want to, sitting in your chair, of course. You can play this on repeat and repeat this prayer if you need to. Some of you are connected with the Father. You already know how to talk to him. Some of you need a little kickstart, but hopefully this just helps you out. Mother Jennifer, go ahead.
Hallelujah. Sister Ashley, you know, the way that I would approach this in prayer is I would just say, Heavenly Father, I just thank you for who you are. I thank you that you are my mighty Abba Yahweh. I thank you that you have chosen me, that you have called me, and that you have accepted me. Father, I just ask right now that you would just hear my prayer. I ask that you would just truly humble my heart, that you would truly bring me to the low estate where I need to be so that I could be heard by you. Father, I ask that you would forgive me this day. I have harbored hatred and bitterness in my heart towards men, Father. I have harbored hatred and bitterness in my heart towards women. And Father, I understand that this hatred translates into hatred towards you as well. I don't desire to walk in this hatred. I desire to walk in your love. You said that we should owe no man nothing but love. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask that you would just heal me of all past hurts and forgive me for everything that I have done to offend anyone. And in the name of Jesus, I just ask that you would just help me to walk towards righteousness and holiness. I ask that you would bless these people right now in the name of Jesus that I have harbored hatred towards, Father, that you would heal them in the areas where I've hurt them. And, Father, I ask that you would just show mercy and compassion upon them. And in the name of Jesus, Father, I pray that I would be a light unto the world, Father, be a light unto your people, that you would just shine in me and that they would see you in me. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'm going to speak in evil and curses, and I'm ending with this. Mother Jennifer, bless you and thank you. You are done. You can clock out. I thank you so, so much for being with me. Thank you for that powerful prayer. This is on straightwaytruth.com. It's a prayer. Okay? There's two of them on there. Let me go back and make sure I'm saying that correctly. Prayer one is speaking evil and curses. You can download it in PowerPoint or PDF. Prayer two is deliverance from bloodline sins. You can also download that PowerPoint PDF. It's really short. Prayer of speaking evil and curses says, my Messiah Jesus, I'm laying down my life before you as a living sacrifice to you. I belong to you. I bring every word that has been spoken against me in the spirit realm before you. But first, I repent for ever speaking evil of others, and I ask that you please forgive me. Jesus, I ask that your blood now speak for me and be applied to me. I'm truly sorry for all my negative words that I've spoken against others. And every word the devil is using against me has been spoken by people or those in authority over my life. I ask that these words be canceled and annulled, and I loose myself by the applied blood of Jesus. I ask that your blood cleanse me from all filth and unrighteousness, and I take full responsibility for my words and my actions. And I ask that you please forgive me as I have forgiven these others. And Jesus, I ask that all sickness and all disease be removed from me. There's no sickness in heaven, so I declare this here on earth for me. And those who I release prayer for, I ask you to touch me with your healing power and heal me and remove all stain from me, Father, and my judge, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If you would like to endure, I say endure, but it's beautiful, hear this somewhere between 6 to 8 minute song. It's really beautiful. And it just proves that we have access. We have access to the Father. The way Mother spoke to him, the way I just read this, his ears are open to the heart of the sinner who is repenting and turning from their wicked ways. Hallelujah. So, bless y'all. Good night. Thank you so much for listening. As always, the weeks are flying by, and if it be God's will, we're going to be with you again next week on November 17th. I'll be 41 this month. Blow the shofar. Hallelujah. Because one day I'm going to meet my King. Thank y'all for listening.
If I just take a second to be still and stop wrestling, to lay down all my questions and watch you move, watch you move. I have access. We have access to your